The Afternoon Drive on Impact 103. Come alive.
In this hour of the show, we've got a conversation that I've been looking forward to for a while, speaking about things that are happening in and around our community. Now, over the last year or so, or maybe actually in the last 3 years since COVID, a lot of us have been aware of what's happening in our communities because we've spent a lot of time at home. And as a result of that, many people have been wanting to voice their frustrations, their concerns, or maybe even their suggestions of work and change that can be done in various areas of our community. And in comes the Integrated Development Plan from the City of Tshwane, where they are planning what's going to happen over the next couple of years and how you can also join into the conversation to bring to the attention of the City of Tshwane of areas that you would love for them to also focus on in your area and your community, because no one knows the issues that you face better than you who's in that area. So joining me this afternoon is newly elected Executive Mayor Celia Brink to break down what the IDP is all about and so much more about how you and I can join into that conversation. Executive Mayor, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon, for your time. Thank you.
Hi, and it's great to be with you.
Maybe let's get straight to it. Actually, before we get into the conversation, Mayor, I mean, you've had a very interesting month and a couple of days. I don't think anyone has started a new job and hit the ground running like you have. I mean, from the pylons that fell in the east of Pretoria, there's no water in the east of Pretoria, issues with adjustment, budget, not to... Have you actually been into your office, Mayor?
Yes, I have in fact been to the office. But you're quite right. It has been a baptism of fire. and it has also given me an opportunity to learn a great deal about what is right and what is wrong with the city, especially the organizational culture and how it responds to problems. You know, there is a tendency to wait for crises to hit. And then there's a great deal of innovation, whereas, in fact, in a healthy organization, the planning and the innovation should happen first, and that should prevent crises from happening in the first place. But you're quite right. It's been quite a baptism of fire.
Absolutely. Baptism of fire, indeed. I don't think I would have thought of that, but I think you've said it rightfully so. But, Mayor, let's get straight into the work of the Integrated Development Plan. I think there's quite a number of things and areas that are key concerns for a lot of the residents of the city of Tshwane. Let's start off with, what are some of the key priorities that you have that you're focusing on and the city is expected or planning to improve within the next coming weeks, months, and for the remainder of this year, that we can immediately start to think where your head is focused to for the remainder of the year?
Yes, so there are five critical priorities that I articulated when I was elected as the mayor based on the reality in which the city finds ourselves. The first is to get control of the city's finances, because our expenditure has exceeded our income for quite some time. And so in this draft IDP and budget, we are going to have to make some cuts for the long-term financial sustainability of the city. We also have to respond to the findings of the Auditor General, which you might know have been quite negative in the last financial year. The second priority is to reduce unscheduled power and water outages. And this involves becoming less dependent on single bulk suppliers of water and electricity. So less dependent on Rand Water and Eskom, but also we've got to maintain our own electricity grid. The third priority is to make sure that while we're doing these things, that service delivery improves and doesn't deteriorate. We want well-maintained, well-lit streets, parks, and curbsides for all of the communities in the city. Number four, we've got to secure our service infrastructure, because many of the power outages and water outages happen because criminals strip the metal from installations, or as in the case of the pylons, they simply attacked our infrastructure. And it's critically important that the Tshwane Metro Police has a role in safeguarding the services to residents. Lastly, we have to ensure that we get productivity out of the city's workforce. That means there has to be a performance management system put in place, and there must be consequences if city officials don't do their work. We must have the assurance. And I could just mention that salaries is the second highest operational expenditure for the city. And so it is critically important that we get value for money. So those are the five key priorities. The coalition government in the city of Tshwane have articulated a bigger set of priorities, but for the immediate future, those are the five things that I will be looking at.
Mayor, you said something that's very important, and I'd love to ask you. I know it's been a month and a couple of days since you've stepped into office on the 28th of March, that is. You've mentioned speaking specifically about that Auditor General report saying, quoting you, where you say, what we find, we must clean out. You've mentioned that certain controls have been broken down, hindering value from tenders, collections due to the city. How's the process going in terms of correcting the error that had happened, or maybe even investigations towards since you've stepped into office to find out what those controls are, to further understand how great the damage is towards those different areas within the city?
Yeah, so we've discovered a number of things, including the fact that the city has got VAT liability on an old contract that was cancelled back in 2017 by court order. And that liability has only now emerged. So it's part of the things that we've unearthed and that we reveal and that will be reflected in the financial statements going forward. I must say the extent of the breakdown of internal controls is extensive. I am monitoring that on a weekly basis in meetings with the city manager. I am not happy with the progress being made, I must be honest with you, but perhaps that is because of all of the work that needs to be done. But we're having continuous engagement, such as tomorrow we'll be having an executive audit tracking committee. We will specifically looking at how we will address the findings of the Auditor General. But all of those things have been landed in governance arrangements, and we will be updating the public as we make progress. But the short answer is I want things to happen quicker, and we're currently putting systems in place to achieve that.
Mayor, something else that you also referencing that speech you made the day you were elected into office, which I think was a very specific mentioning of certain areas, like you've mentioned the five key areas that you're focusing on, but also highlighting certain actions that you're taking. There's a point in the speech where you say you extend a hand of cooperation to all of the political parties in this council, but especially the council that did not vote for me. Each of us, no matter how politically warm-blooded we are, must love our city and our country more than we dislike each other. Now, my curiosity goes into the direction of, in a country where there is so much strain and talks and doubts, specifically about coalition governments, as what we've seen, I think, in the last year and a half, is this something that we can expect or anticipate to happen, that it will actually be a taken together of hands? How has the reception been since you've stepped into office of the opposing parties to work hand in hand with you in planning the IDP, which we're about to discuss in a moment, and with certain other issues that you may have been combing through since you've stepped into office?
Yeah, so one challenge is holding the multi-party coalition together, and there I think we've done some good work. We're not fighting amongst each other about jobs and so forth, and that's a sound indication we're focusing on the future and the policy decisions that need to be made. As for, as you cited from the speech, the folks who did not vote for me, I have reached out to all of the political parties in council. Although I have not necessarily met with each one of them myself, I have delegated members of my team to discuss certain aspects of the budget and the IDP and the adjustments budget, which was passed by the Municipal Council last month. And I've also personally met with, including the official opposition, the ANC, to answer certain questions and to say that I am really interested in debate about issues instead of personal attacks and the kind of warfare that we've seen in council interactions. I think the interactions have been positive so far. Of course, it's early days. We take it issue by issue. At the last council meeting, as I mentioned, we passed an adjustment budget. It was approved by a majority of council. And in that instance, several opposition parties, including the ANC, the largest opposition, voted for the adjustment budget. That's not a guarantee of peace and cooperation in the future. But I think that that commitment that was made to listening to different parties and engaging them in a collegial way has been met to this point.
Well, then, Mayor, I think it might be a good time for us to actually step into the integrated development plan and some of the things that's mentioned in there. Maybe talk us through some of the main core objectives that we're looking to expect in the coming years as we look into this, the IDP plan for 2023 onwards. Obviously, looking at 2030 vision, understand that the main vision is a prosperous capital city through fairness, freedom and opportunity. But what are some of the main things that we can expect to find in this year's IDP that and the budget that will be going with it that residents can expect to not only know about but also comment into?
So firstly, let's talk about the hard luck news or the difficult part of this budget. And the reality is that given the financial position of the city and given what I've already explained of income or expenditure exceeding income, we have had to make cuts of about 30% to the budget. And we've really had to abandon projects and programs that are not core to what the city is meant to do in terms of what the Constitution says, water, sanitation, sewerage, electricity, roads, public lighting, bylaw enforcement, and so forth. That has meant for the employees of the city that we at this stage are not budgeting for salary increases in the next financial year. We will follow the collective agreement that says that exemption needs to be sought from that collective agreement, but we're simply not in a position to grant salary increases. But we have to explain to the residents that is about making sure that we deliver value for money to the residents, because it's not about the councillors, it's not about the officials, it's about the residents. That having been said, our operational budget is 44 billion. Our capital budget is 2.5 billion. The biggest spending item is energy and electricity, and that's core to our priorities of stabilizing the electricity network. The second biggest item is water and sanitation, as you can imagine. The other important items are group financial services, the Tshwane Metro Police, and then the regional operations, which includes functions like public cleaning, parks, and the maintenance of our service infrastructure. But I think it's important to note that with the good news and the bad, and let me also just add that the tariffs that residents will need to pay are also set out in the budget. And unfortunately, as you know, NERSA, the independent energy regulator, approved very high tariff increases for Eskom to charge us as municipalities. And unfortunately, we've had to, as a matter of necessity, also increase our proposed tariffs on electricity by the same measure that we had to pay Eskom. But I do want to encourage residents to look at the details, which are available on Tshwane's website, which is tshwane.gov.za. It is both the IDP, which is the plan, the adjustment to the five-year plan of the city, as well as the budget, which is called the medium-term revenue and expenditure framework. And to please participate in this process by submitting comments to idpcomments@tshwane.gov.za. That's idpcomments@tshwane.gov.za, and that must be done before 3 o'clock on the 17th of May.
May, I'm going to have to jump in right now because I think what I'd love to do is there's certain items. I mean, I've actually gone through the draft of the IDP for 2023, and there's certain areas where I'm curious to find out how that'll actually look like, because I'm thinking of a resident that's listening right now, and it may sound in the air and not really down their road and in their homes, and all they're hearing is increase here, increase there, expenditure over income, but not understanding what that actually looks like for them. So we're going to pause this conversation for a moment, if it be all right with you, Mayor. And then just after we go to news headlines, we're going to come back and continue the conversation with Executive Mayor Celia Brink, talking to us about the integrated development plan, what that looks like for you and I, and the importance of us coming to the table, having the conversation, asking the right questions, commenting on it, but also keeping council to account and keeping the city to account to be able to see them actually come to fulfillment in the areas that they've mentioned, whether it be in electricity, provision of water, how many households have access to refuse removal, which is something that's been a hot topic in our city for a number of years, to be able to see, is there a plan that is set in place in terms of that? I mean, I'm receiving a message of people talking about how expenses are higher than income and salary increases are not about to happen. But there's still so many City of Tshwane employees that we've seen in our lives who are roaming the streets without actually getting the work done. That conversation and many other questions will be coming up in a moment. And we continue the conversation with Executive Mayor Celia Brink, newly elected, that is, for the City of Tshwane, talking about the Integrated Development Plan. Mayor, thank you so much for your time. And as we continue the conversation, I'm so glad that you managed to highlight some of the key areas that we can expect to be focused on in the new IDP plan and moving forward. I think something that was a little bit concerning is maybe just to pause a little bit when it comes to electricity, which is, if I'm not mistaken, the biggest talking point and the biggest focus for the new year. Looking at electricity connection in the City of Tshwane between 2011 to 2021, we've seen a reduction of 5.82% from 131,000 to 71,800 residents in 2021. Is this something that we will see dropping drastically, working hand in hand in moving us off the grid? Or will the focus move towards getting us off the grid, dependence on Eskom be higher, and then thereafter focus on getting more and more households connected to electricity within the city?
Yes. So it's very important that we firstly note the effect of load shedding on the city and on our electricity distribution business, because how this works is we buy the electricity from Eskom, we then distribute it to households, and we are meant to make a small surplus on the sale of electricity, which we then use to maintain the electricity grid. But the effect of load shedding is both to heighten wear and tear on our electricity grid, because it was just never built to be switched on and off constantly. And that's why you have all manner of things blowing up, substations, lines breaking, and other damage that is heightened due to load shedding, especially in winter when lines run cold and then are switched on and off. But the other effect has been to take some of our highest use consumers, especially wealthy households and industries, off our grid, so they don't purchase electricity from the municipality anymore. And we lose that money in the distribution business. We also lose the money in maintaining the grid. So it is essential for the city to become less dependent on Eskom as the supplier of electricity. We've established an electricity or energy task team that will look at various proposals, including at utilizing the Pretoria West and Rooiwal power stations that belong to us, but have been mothballed for a number of years. You might recall that the previous executive mayor had certain initiatives in that regard, which unfortunately did not work out. And so we're hopefully going to go to the market with a request for proposals. And hopefully the end of that is that the city will be able to generate our own electricity in partnership with the private sector purchase electricity from IPPs. And that will help us perhaps miss one or two stages of load shedding, as is the case in the city of Cape Town at the moment. So that is very much front and center of our strategic priorities.
Something else that I see in the strategic priorities, Mayor, the second point in actual fact in the list of strategic priorities, is providing stringent financial management and oversight. My question is more specifically towards the process plan of this integrated development plan. This was adopted on the 25th of August last year, and this was with then Mayor. Are there certain areas that we can expect to be changed, considering that previous Mayor at that point, Randall Williams, had left the work that he was doing as mayor in the city, and various things have come out from there in terms of financial pressure and realizing how much there was financial error that was happening in the city. This process plan that was put in place to work with this IDP, the Integrated Development Plan, is that going to stay as is? Will this be reviewed, considering the parties that may have been involved in the planning of this process plan and how we, in your words, trying to find the areas where brokenness has been seeped into the city, as well as breaking down of systems and controls when it comes to the finances of the city. Or can one say that even though the process plan may have been done by previous mayor Randall Williams, that even though that was done then, the decisions made now and the budget made now, the process plan has no hold over it?
Yeah, so this is a process of the Municipal Council. That process plan was approved by the Municipal Council. It's not dependent on any one mayor. The city's budget and IDP remains the same until it is reviewed. So the process plan won't be affected. And what the process plan basically is, are the deadlines and the points that the budget must be reviewed, prepared, public participation, and so forth. So that has been slightly affected by the political instability in the Municipal Council. But the review process, which happens every year according to statutory deadlines, will continue. That's not really affected. But I think the underlying question that you might have is, what do we do now, given the findings of the Auditor General and the status of the previous financial statements?
That's correct.
The Auditor General has given us a list of things that need to be addressed, obviously in the findings that led to the adverse audit finding. And point by point, those things will systematically need to be worked through, including, for example, getting a hold of the city's fixed asset register, which was completely out of control, making sure that accounting standards are followed in the compilation of the financial statements, making sure we work through the accumulated irregular expenditure, you know, that is expenditure incurred in contravention of the law. Point by point, we will have to, in the very short space that's left of the current financial year, which is ends on the last day of June, as much as we can address in that short space of time will need to be addressed. That won't affect the budget and the IDP, but it will certainly affect how the money is actually spent when the budget is returned for approval by the Municipal Council.
Executive Mayor, I'd love for us to maybe take a moment and lean in a little bit more towards the public participation. I think more than anything, this is where I would deem it very important to feel the pulse of what's happening in the streets, in the communities, in the suburbs, in the different areas within the city. And public participation is something that you found to be very important, specifically in this integrated development plan. If anything, in chapter 5 of the draft, it speaks about public participation is not being done as a compliance exercise, but as an honest engagement with communities for the city to outline all programs that will be implemented within the 5-year cycle of the IDP. Why is it so important that before you go ahead and just, you know, let the city say, this is what we're going to focus on, why is it so important that you allow the public to come in to comment over here, number one? Number two, how does it actually look like for someone who wants to say, Mayor, I've been having issues with this particular thing in my community for the last 8 years or whatever it may be. Could this be considered to be something put into the IDP for the next 5 years plan?
So the purpose of getting public input is because, first and foremost, we are a participatory democracy. In other words, we don't just vote for politicians and then we see them again 5 years later. Especially at local government level, our legislation has been written in a way that compels the mayor, the council, the councillors to go back to the public and do a yearly review of the 5-year plan that they have compiled, and then to make adjustments to that based on the input of the public. The second purpose of public participation is, of course, that errors can be made. There might be omissions, there might be things that are wrong that are then exposed by subjecting the plan and the budget to public scrutiny. And remember, it's not just individuals and households and communities who comment on this. There are various organizations, NGOs, civil society organizations, ratepayers associations, who already look at these things with a critical eye and who already know what to zoom in on. For instance, what projects are planned for this particular region? What projects are planned for my particular ward? And to answer the last question as to how input is given, the most effective way of giving input is to do it in writing. And I'm going to use this opportunity again to emphasize that All of the documentation is available on SWANE's website and the email address, idpcomments@swane.gov.za. That's the one to use to make sure that written submissions are brought to the attention of the officials who need to compile or to look at all of the public inputs and then to suggest to the mayoral committee and the council what changes should be made based on the input of the public. And this input is not just about the budget. It could also be about what targets we're putting in place. How do we frame our priorities? And it's an imperfect process because, as folks will realize, we can't make fundamental changes because in many instances, we're already committed in terms of our salaries and so forth. But it is nonetheless an opportunity for the public to give input and then to compel the council to respond to that input. It's the way our democracy is put together, and I think it's quite unique in that way.
Mayor, maybe you can give us some details as to by when one can submit these comments and what time that cutoff would be.
Yes. So that cutoff time is the 17th of May by 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
All right. Fantastic. Executive Mayor, thank you so much for your time and really looking forward to seeing the journey over the next 5 years and the rollout of the strategic intent for the integrated development plan and eventually see that vision for 2030, that is, that Tshwane becoming a prosperous capital city through fairness, freedom and opportunity. So we're looking forward to many more discussions as we inquire to hear what are some of the things that are happening, what are some of the changes that are happening, and also keep to account to say, hey, we spoke on the 10th of May saying 1, 2, 3 can be expected. It's a year later and we're realizing that these things haven't materialized as yet. So thank you so much for your time, Executive Mayor, and we look forward to many more discussions.
Thanks so much for the opportunity. Have a lovely evening.
Same to you. Thank you. That's Executive Mayor Celia Brink joining us right here on the Afternoon Drive with Khosi, talking all things integrated development plan, what that means for you and I, and also highlighting how important it is that you go and make sure that your voice is heard. So if you've got comments on that budget, which you can go check out by visiting the Tshwane website, that's tshwane.gov.za, be sure to download that document, scrutinize it, read through it, and in the next 7 days at 3:00, is a cutoff, and you can send your comments to idpcomments@swane.gov.za. Up until the 17th of May at 3:00 is a time that we have that we can comment not just on the budget, but also suggestions and changes that we want to see made in those areas. Maybe it might not be so critical that the focus be first on the land and how distribution of land will be over standard and most basic service delivery. Or maybe there's other things that you find to be of higher importance because you, the resident, staying in those areas, it's more important that they hear from you than them sitting in the offices, not experiencing the troubles that you're experiencing, that they can be able to make the changes as needed.
The Afternoon Drive Show on Impact 103.